Over the past few years, teachers across the country have marched on state capitals, picketed in front of schools, and canceled classes, all to raise awareness about the low pay and lack of resources plaguing our nation's educators. But while most of this attention has been focused on K through 12 schools, the problem is taking its toll at the college level as well, particularly among non-tenured faculty or adjuncts. The Takeaway spoke with two adjunct professors who said they were feeling the strains of working in higher education, and they asked us not to use their full names.
So I teach at LaGuardia and Queensborough Community Colleges. I've been doing that for about 2 years, and I am at the moment teaching two courses, one at each school. I think the most troublesome part of what I do for a living is the instability of not knowing what my paycheck will look like.
I teach at a public institute in Texas. I started my career there as an adjunct and spent 3 years as an adjunct. It was a very stressful time for my family.
The exact roles of adjunct professors vary from school to school, but on the whole, these educators work from semester to semester without the guarantee of full-time employment.
Several semesters I taught what would be considered to be an overload for full-time faculty and received less than half the pay of a full-time faculty. I was not eligible for any kind of benefits, which meant that me and my children did not have health insurance. My schedule changed every semester, making finding childcare very difficult. Most semesters, my day began with an 8 a.m. class and ended with a class that finished at 9 p.m. There were no days off. I was expected to answer all student correspondence within 24 hours. Relying on adjuncts is cost-effective for the college, but the cost to the employees and students is great.
What am I going to do to make ends meet if they don't have any summer courses to give me? For example, I was promised 3 courses at one of my schools for this semester, and by the time the semester began, I went from having 3 courses to having 1. So you can only imagine the pay cut at the most basic level. If you have to worry about your family and putting food on the table, it will affect your performance in the classroom. And that then affects the student. It's just an obvious chain of events. It has to stop. We need to stop the bleeding because this current status quo is just unsustainable. We can't survive the way we are at the moment.
But it wasn't always this way.
Part-time adjuncts represent about 40% of the academic workforce these days. In 1975, they represented about 24%, to give you a sense of how much has changed over time.
That's Danielle Douglas-Gabriel, a reporter covering the economics of education for The Washington Post. And she told me there's more than one reason for the increased reliance on adjuncts.
There are a couple of factors at play. One, there are more people going to college, so with more demand, you need to increase supply. So there is a need for more classes, more instructors. But at the same time, you have a lot of universities facing budgetary pressures, and they can't necessarily afford, at least that's what they say, to create full-time tenure-track positions. Instead, they go for something that's far less expensive as far as the investment, which are adjunct instructors. And their pay can range anywhere from as low as $1,500 a class at some community class colleges to as high as $8,000 per course at some private universities.
That seems outrageous to me. Let's put that in context of the fact that if that course has 12 students in it, if they're lucky, or double that, each of those students is also paying. So I'm wondering if you could help me understand the budgetary pressures that universities are saying they're under when students are paying to attend these classes.
I mean, let's use a community college, for example. There are a lot of community colleges in this country right now who are not receiving the sorts of state appropriations that they once enjoyed. So they are having to do more with less. But yes, those students are paying tuition and fees in order to attend those schools. That money goes towards not only instruction, but the administration, the operation of the facilities, keeping buildings in decent repair. And if the state isn't kicking in their portion of what they used to in order to keep things going and keep the doors open, then a lot of the what schools have to rely on are the students' tuition payments. And that's not always translating into more money for the instructors.
Flipping it to private universities, I mean, a lot of these places have major endowments. They charge outrageous tuition. How come the issue is present there?
So endowments are a tricky thing, but you're still seeing at those schools a bit of a pressure coming from what's called tuition discounting at private universities, where their sticker price just seems totally outrageous, almost like when you go to buy a car. You see this really huge sticker price, but it's not necessarily what they're paying. And as a result of that discount, there's often an imbalance in what universities need in order to operate. And I think you see it in New England in particular, with a lot of small liberal arts colleges starting to close because they can no longer afford to fund their operations.
Well, one of the other parts of this is that if you're a tenured professor, you essentially have life job security. If you're an adjunct, you don't. And so I think one of the things that we're seeing happening is adjuncts are organizing potentially to unionize. How are those efforts going across the country?
They're pretty successful and surprisingly not receiving a lot of publicity. You know, adjuncts among the classification of faculty known as contingent faculty, and that's your part-time, full-time adjuncts as well as graduate student workers. Adjuncts have been probably the most successful group in trying to get a seat at the table, increase their pay, get some health insurance. And oftentimes, they want very simple things like getting some advance notice if their class is going to be canceled like 3 days before the semester starts. Small things like that. Other adjuncts I've spoken to who are in the union movement say that they just want a little bit of money for professional development. This isn't some side job. This is their career, and they want to be able to get better at it to help students and to improve the university's standings.
Let's be clear, too, that when we're talking about adjuncts, we're talking about generally what level of education are these folks coming in to their jobs with, and generally how much have they invested?
More often than not these days, there are people who already have their PhD in hand. And, you know, it's quite an investment. You could certainly still be paying back quite a bit in student loans, and often paying back more than you are making doing these kinds of adjunct positions at various schools. And what you're often seeing these days is adjunct professors working at more than one college teaching multiple classes. For a recent article I wrote, I interviewed one gentleman who was teaching 22 online classes in one semester at 5 different colleges in Florida.
As more people of color, more women of color get higher education degrees, get these master's and these PhDs, and yet they can't seem to get that tenure track. I mean, how will we diversify at this level with this adjunct issue?
There are a lot of important conversations happening within academia right now about diversity, about equity, and what that looks like. Overarching, there's a problem. There are not enough seats, and there's not a sense that when you're looking to fill those positions, you need to think about everybody and what they may bring to the table. Women and people of color aren't always considered in those spaces. What constitutes a important contribution has to be kind of changed. The idea of that, it has to be changed somewhat, and it has to be more than just scholarship, but it also has to be life experience and what that could do in terms of advancement for your students.
Danielle, do we have any idea of where the adjunct movement to unionize is headed?
I think it's only going to grow larger. I feel like in the last couple of years, you've seen more adjunct members within states like Florida. Florida just had what I find to be a quite remarkable movement, where there were about 9,000 faculty members within Florida's public university system that are in the process of filing to join unions or who have unionized. And that's a right-to-work state. So that's pretty remarkable. If they can find success there, then there's nothing really stopping adjuncts in other states from doing the same. I mean, administration, they also understand the value of having these instructors as a part of their community. So oftentimes they're willing to at least hear them out, see what can be worked out in order to keep the universities and colleges running.
Danielle Douglas-Gabriel is a reporter covering the economics of education for The Washington Post. Danielle, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.